It was a crime that really almost threatened the U.S. Constitution. With all the political gate scandals of recent years, this was the first one. Does the blood of Jesus shed on Calvary have power to erase even the blockbuster sins, the headline makers? Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the concluding radio message in our series, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. I'm Kenneth Richards. We've been discussing how the cross of Jesus actually takes away burdens like hatred, guilt, fear. And all this week we've been sharing a marvelous little book entitled More Than Amazing Grace. Today's your last opportunity to get a free copy, so stay tuned for those important details a little later. First, though, let's open up our Bibles and rejoin our program host. Here's Lonnie with his Friday message, Wiping Out Watergate.
I may not be much of a trivia expert, and certainly not when it comes to recalling the TV guide listings of yesteryear. But friend, I think I can pretty much predict what you were watching on television exactly 23 years ago tonight. It was a Thursday evening back then, if you check an almanac, August 8, 1974. And no, I don't recall what the hit TV shows on Thursdays were for ABC, CBS, and NBC, but I do know that all three networks preempted their regular schedules so that Richard Nixon could go on television and announce that he was resigning the presidency. 23 years ago today, at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, he became the first president to ever step down. Watergate had finally consumed his presidency. And then the next morning, August 9, the resignation officially took place after Nixon had addressed the White House staff in a televised farewell. And so, for a lot of us, August 8 and 9 kind of stick in the mind. Those were two painful days of television. You know, it was a real time of sorrow for the United States of America. I really don't think anybody gloated. Our writer-producer David Smith was 19 at the time, and he's pretty much a die-hard Democrat. But he sat in a little bedroom watching the resignation on a tiny black-and-white TV, he tells me, with tears streaming down his face, because this was a wrenching moment for all Americans. A couple of years ago, David prepared a radio series for us entitled Bathsheba Gate, where another world leader had gotten entangled in a scandal, one much worse than Watergate or Whitewatergate or Paula Jonesgate. King David had sinned a grievous scandal with adultery and murder and a royal cover-up, and now the whole thing had come unraveled. There was a Woodward and Bernstein back then, too, except that his name was the prophet Nathan, and he'd found the smoking gun. Well, that takes us to chapter 51 of the book of Psalms, where this disgraced monarch pleads with heaven for forgiveness. Imagine you've heard these words before. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. And then down in verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Can you hear the desperation here? The horror of his sin, which has crippled an entire nation? Can he possibly be forgiven? Is there any chance at all that he could be cleansed? Maybe you've read how Nixon and Kissinger, the night before the president went on TV, met there in the Oval Office. And Nixon wanted to pray. He got down on his knees on the navy blue rug and then literally collapsed, falling on the floor like a little child hitting his fist on the carpet over and over. What have I done? What have I done? A man desperate for forgiveness, for the whole mess to be erased, like those 18.5 minutes of tape which had helped cause his problems. Could his crimes possibly be taken away, forgiven? Was pardon possible? You know, we've spent a week now at the foot of the cross remembering the title of a great gospel song, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. But here on Friday, on our Watergate anniversary, we wonder out loud, how about the really big sins, a national sin? Something so deliberate, so premeditated, where there are 6,000 presidential tapes and transcripts recording a mountain of cover-up conversations, hundreds of lies. In King David's case, a murder methodically planned and carried out with the help of accomplices. Can the blood dripping down from the crossbar of the cross of Calvary cover up things as big as these? Well, the testimony of the Bible is that the answer is yes. King David received forgiveness for his monumental crime. The Word of God calls him a man after God's own heart. And Jesus himself, who would make the necessary sacrifice, said even before Calvary in Matthew chapter 12, "All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men." So friend, as we add on to what we said yesterday about guilt being lifted, I want you to remember these two words, all manner. Whatever you've done, it can be forgiven. No matter how heavy your load, Calvary can lift it. All manner of burdens can be taken away, canceled out. There's no weight too heavy for Calvary to relieve. But let me say this too. Friend, only the Christian faith offers this. Christianity has a Calvary, and no other faith can make such a claim. If a man or woman wants a burden lifted, large or small, only Christianity can provide that service. Acts 4:12 makes this one thing perfectly clear, as Nixon himself used to say, "Salvation is found in no one else but Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." In the book Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis makes the same point, and I'm quoting, "Christianity tells people to repent and then promises them forgiveness. It therefore has nothing, as far as I know, to say to people who do not know they have done anything to repent of, and who do not feel that they need any forgiveness. When you know you are sick, you will listen to the doctor. When you have realized that our position is nearly desperate, you will begin to understand what the Christians are talking about." You know, a person can drink or use crack to try and forget their guilt. You can get psychiatric advice or read a book telling how you can submerge your feelings or manage some avoidance technique. And there are religions out there which can teach you how to chant, how to believe you're at one with the universe despite the rotten things you do. In the Buddhist faith, there's a concept known as sonam, a piling up of good deeds, of righteous acts which can eventually let you escape the endless cycle of birth and death and rebirth. A devout believer can tip the scales in the good direction and simply overwhelm 100 sins with 101 acts of kindness, and so on. But friend, only the Christian faith has something which takes away guilt. Others try to drown it out, shout it out, crowd it out, or even flood it out with Boy Scout acts of model citizenship. But only Calvary, only the Christ of the Christian faith can actually remove sin. Only Christianity provides that answer. One of our staff members here at the Voice of Prophecy was joking about the rattles and squeaks in his old car. "I got it solved," he announced. "I just play the stereo louder now, and all those bothersome noises are gone." And you know, this world is involved in one great race to turn up the stereo of our minds and drown out our guilt. "I'm okay, you're okay," we keep screaming at each other, hoping our team yelling will finally convince us. And all the while, there's a cross on a hill which quietly tells us, "Look over here. Your guilt can be gone right here, right now. Your burden can be lifted at Calvary." A few weeks ago here in this program, we kind of stunned ourselves, and maybe some of you too, with a week-long series on pornography. And the story that shattered us was entitled An Affair of the Mind by Laurie Hall. Her husband literally destroyed their marriage with a decades-long addiction to porn. And I mean, he went the limit, everything. Well, you can imagine what this did to the self-esteem of his wife. It virtually destroyed her too. She'd been cast aside for Playboy pictures, and then for topless waitresses, and then for hookers. She was nothing in the eyes of the man who endlessly cheated on her, lied to her, abused her, and of course her husband Jack was in desperate straits too. He was locked in a habit he couldn't escape from, consumed by guilt. Talk about a guy with a burden that needed lifting. And as you read through this gripping masterpiece, it becomes beautifully clear that Calvary was sufficient to provide healing for both of these hurting souls. Laurie, feeling so worthless, so discarded, discovered at the cross how much heaven treasured her. She was a person worth redeeming. Even though her husband didn't see what a jewel she was, God had sent his own son just for her. The cross was a statement of her worth. I like how one theologian puts it, Calvary constitutes the most expensive price ever paid for anything. How about for Jack, the man held in the grip of hardcore pornography? Could he be forgiven from the depths of his degradation? Like King David, he was a long way down on the sin scale. Was Calvary enough for him? And really, this man had two burdens, the guilt and then also the habit. Friend, Calvary was able to lift both of those burdens. The guilt, of course, could be forgiven in a moment. Forgiveness is instantaneous in the Christian faith, and he finally took hold of that. The habit? Well, that's a longer process, one that continues even as you're hearing these words. But again, it's the strength provided at Calvary by the Savior who conquered sin and death at Calvary that is slowly, day by day, making a difference in the life of the Hall family. Where there was only darkness, the sunshine is slowly returning. Well, our time is gone, and we could go on and on here. But wherever you are right now, friend, let me give you the last line of this great song. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Yes, friend, he is indeed very near at this very moment. And his amazing grace is available to lift your burdens right now. Remember, today is your final opportunity to request this book, More Than Amazing Grace, with its 10 beautiful chapters exploring the truths of the classic Christian gospel song. For your free copy of More Than Amazing Grace, write to us here at the Voice of Prophecy, Box 53055, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 53055, Los Angeles, 90053. In Canada, you can write to Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4, or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. Here's that number again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station when you ask for this book, More Than Amazing Grace. Lonnie?
Thanks, Ken. Next week, we'll actually segue right into an important follow-up topic. What does forgiveness actually imply? Here's our title. Great, I'm forgiven. Now what? Do join us again. Lonnie Melashenko reminding you that it's always true, friend. God loves you. Legendary golfer Arnold Palmer once played a series of exhibition matches in Saudi Arabia. Now, the king was so impressed that he proposed to give Palmer a gift. "It isn't really necessary, Your Highness," he said. "I'm honored to have been invited." "Well, I would be deeply upset," replied the king, "if you would not allow me to give you a gift." Palmer thought for a moment and said, "All right, how about a golf club?" The next day, the king had delivered to Palmer's hotel the title to a golf club with clubhouse, thousands of lovely acres, and so on. The moral of this story is, in the presence of a great king, don't ask for small gifts. So, what have you been praying for lately? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about asking for expensive cars and real estate. Those aren't great things. Those are trivial things. It's like a kid asking his parents to give him all the candy in the store. That's kid stuff. No, I'm talking about asking for the salvation of lost souls. I'm talking about asking for an outpouring of God's Spirit on a whole city. Ask God for big things, things that glorify his name. Then stand back and watch him work. This is Benchmark, Box 3838, Hollywood, 90078.